This is the Recency Bias. Welcome back to Morning After Minipod. Yes, missed a couple games, missed a couple of the first two games in this three-game set against Calgary. My apologies for missing. Was on a good streak this season, hadn't missed one, but had to miss those two. Happy to be back, doing the bias to finish off this three-game set, doing the first one the Canadiens won of this three-game set against the Flames, the final time they will encounter Calgary in this 21 season. And a 2-1 win. Thank God it's the final time they'll play the Flames this year, because it's been pretty brutal. Not just the fact that they lose those games more often than not, I believe, but just awful, awful trash hockey to watch. No fun. So glad that's behind us, so we don't have to watch any more Habs Flames the rest of the way. Yes, Canadiens winners on Monday evening. I say evening because it was a 6:30 start to the game. Not bad. I kind of liked it. I could work with some 6:30 starts. I mean, obviously that's not doable in the real world, but in pandemic world, don't mind it. I like an earlier or a later start in the pandemic era, because what else am I doing? So it's like, either I'm done work, let's get a game going, let's get that start on the night, or I like a later start, because it's like, you know, I'll wait, I'll do some other things, I don't know what, get up to something or other in the limited space I got, and then watch a game. Anyway, that's just how I feel about start times in the pandemic. Yes, a dull 2-1 lead, but a game that was very exciting for one reason and one reason only. The child has arrived. Cole Caulfield makes his NHL debut. The kid's not shy to shoot. Cole Caulfield tied for leading all Canadians. He and Joel Edmondson both took four shots. I would say Caulfield's were much more dangerous. Kid had to skate a lap on his own without the helmet before the game started. Now, the skating the lap, you know, being told to lead the thing and then skating a lap by yourself, that's pretty normal for rookie hazing, for a rookie that's got a lot of talk coming in. But they also hit his bucket, so he had to go skate the lap without the helmet. Having some good times, those Habs. Which is good, because the game, again, was not that entertaining. A win, a huge win, because the Canucks also lost on Monday night. So Canucks and Flames both losing. Habs 6 points up on the Flames now with 9 games to go, and they've got one in hand. They are 21-17-9 for 51 points. They're 10 points up on Vancouver, but the Canucks have like 6 games in hand on them. So I don't know. I'd be very surprised if the Canucks find a way to crawl back. But it's still very doable. 9 games, 6 points for the Flames. That's less doable. Especially, you know, they could have made it 2. And it looked very much like they might for a while, particularly in the second period. The Habs played a good first and an okay third, and enough to survive. The second, though, was pretty bad. Quite atrocious from the Canadiens. Jake Allen back in for this one. Taking on Markstrom. He had a pretty solid night, though definitely was fighting some things early. Of course, a couple things I didn't get a chance to talk about because I missed a couple games there, but Corey Perry wearing the A with Paul Byron out of the lineup. Yeah, I dig it. I think with Gallagher out of the lineup, Corey Perry's the closest thing to a captain this team has right now. No offense, Shea Weber. Actually, take all the offense you want, Shea Weber. It's fine. Romanov also not in this game. He's on the taxi squad, which is like upsetting because Romanov definitely doesn't belong on the taxi squad, but it's mostly about the limitations of the situation right now. As Arpin Basu from The Athletic was tweeted here, it's kind of informative. So Romanov was sent to the taxi squad. Cole Caulfield was recalled. As I understand it, pretty much only Byron and Romanoff can be sent to the taxi squad to do because of something else that happened earlier in the season with taxi squads and whatnot. Because the Canadians have been dancing this very, very careful dance to keep everything with the cap space. They find themselves just in an absolute disaster of attempting to shuffle guys in and out of the lineup. And frankly, it seems like the additions of Gustafsson and Merrill at the deadline, and Staal, I guess, too, like, it really didn't help anything, considering Staal definitely has been a non-factor. I've liked Merrill's play, to be honest. Gustafsson hasn't showed me much yet, but it's just like, Marc Bergevin, you really painted yourself into a dumb corner on this one. So yeah, it's players who are on the NHL roster at the time of the trade deadline cannot be sent to the taxi squad. It's against the rules. So because they had Romanov on one of those, remember when Romanov was going to the taxi squad all the time, but like it was not on game days, and but so because he happened to have been on the taxi squad at that time, they can put him back on the taxi squad now. And they can't do it with anybody else. And they only have one call up left. And it's unlikely they're going to use it on Caulfield. It's most likely they're going to use it on Evans, who should be taking Staal's place in the lineup. Absolutely. Evans had himself a great game on Monday night. Really solid play from the kid. So it's a tough situation. I mean, it's a kind of situation that the GM has created where the coach can't actually play the best players. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a great general managing. If you're just managing the team generally, I would suggest you'd make it so that the coach has the opportunity to play the best players available. That's not the situation the Habs find himself in. So that might be it. That might be all we see from Cole Caulfield until, I guess, the playoffs. But I liked what I saw. My scouting report is, it was in after one period. The kid can play at the NHL level, I've decided. Not going to be a problem. We got a star. Didn't score, didn't get a point in this one, but certainly manufactured some chances. Got a shot off early that was, just kind of not terrifying or anything to the goalie, but okay. Nice shot. The kid can shoot. But it was the Habs power play that would strike first in this one. Shea Weber on the power play. A really nice feed from Tatar. And for once, or I guess for the sixth time this season, Shea Weber actually managed to hit his target. Habs lead 1-0 thanks to the power play goal. It didn't last long, though, as Elias Lindholm would also score a power play marker, even things at 1-1 for the Flames. It was about most of the action. A couple power plays in that first period. Caulfield was in on all the Habs' best non-power play chances in the period. He's in two scoring chances because he just shoots. He's willing to shoot from anywhere. Jonathan Drouin. Maybe add a little bit more of that to your game. Of course, Drouin not in this game because fantastic new parentheses added to the injured list, non-COVID related illness. So there you go. Shots in the first were 6-5 for the Flames, scoring chances 7-3 for Calgary. High danger chances were even at one apiece, and they all came at 5-on-5. 1-1 after 20. So, I would say overall, I thought the Habs played, looked like they were ready in that first period. They came out with something of a plan, and that all disappeared in the second. The second was one of the worst periods of hockey I watched all season. Just shit. And, it resembled, at least for the Canadians, resembled Saturday night. A nice looking first period. Where it felt like, okay, if these are the Habs that arrived, they could be all right in this one. And the second, good God, it was a damn mess. But despite the fact that the Canadians couldn't do anything in the middle frame, with 1:55 to go in the second period, Tyler Toffoli is 25th of the season, 25 for Toffoli. He could actually reach 30 in a 56-game season. Very impressive. I believe the first Hab, I'm trying to remember this now, first Hab since like 87, 88. This is a stat I saw on Monday night. I'm not like trying to pull it from something deep in my brain, but yeah, like no Hab has scored 25 goals in the first 50 games, I think, since Stefan Richey did it in, I want to say the 87, 88 season. Let's call it that one. Make a difference if it's 86, 87 or 88, 89. No. Back in the day, I was wasn't even in elementary school yet. Last time some Hab scored 25 in less than 50 games, and he could really hit 30. Would be fun to see what he can do in an 82 game season at this pace. In the second, the shots were even 8-8 somehow. It, not what it looked like, but that's how it shook out. Scoring chances went 7-6 Calgary's way. High danger chances. Even at 2, and I was in 5v5 as well. Yet, thanks to Tyler, Canadians lead 2-1 after 40. As you know already, that would be the final results of what went down in the third. Well, with 8:20 left, Calgary did ring one off the post. It hung out in the paint for a second, but they weren't exactly getting the breaks on the evening either. Watching the game along with Habs Twitter scroll in there, and Canadians fans were very, very frustrated with the game, especially in the second, rightfully so. But I imagine if I'd flipped to Calgary Twitter, it probably would have been the same. I don't think either team was particularly impressed with anything that happened on Monday night, other than the final result for the Canadians. It's just not a very good hockey game. Calgary didn't even get really close. They pulled the goal. They pulled Markstrom in the end, but wouldn't get close. The third period was quite uneventful. Shots were 11-8. Scoring chances went 8-3 Flames way. High danger chances. They went Habs way 2-0. Is that possible? No. Calgary led that 2-0. So that's it. The Habs probably put the Flames away in less than convincing fashion, but it doesn't need to be all that convincing. It just needs to be the result. And the result is Canadians win, and now 6 points up on the Flames with those nine games for them to go. A few questions, a few parting thoughts on this one. Firstly, what happened to Jeff Petrie's season? Another tough... Yeah, he had an assist on the night, but it was a tough one. Petrie had an assist, Suzuki had an assist. Suzuki, I thought, played a pretty decent night. Had a good active stick going, at least, in a night where the Flames were definitely creating more turnovers than the Canadians. The only Hab who really seemed to be working it a little bit was Suzuki in that sense. Tatar Armia also with the helpers. As I said, Weber scored his 6th of the season, and Toffoli his 25th. Time on ice. Only one player I cared to see how much time he got on Monday, and it was Cole Caulfield. In his 18 shifts, he played 15 minutes 40 seconds, so pretty much the same as a lot of the forwards right in the 14, 15, 16 minute range on Monday night. 4 shots, as I said, that led all Canadians forwards, even with Edmondson at 4 shots on the night. So I think he could be quite a value as the Habs face the Leafs in the playoffs. Seems to be how we'll see him. One game could be all we see. That would be sad, because I was enjoying every time he was on the ice. He didn't look as small as I expected, I gotta say. Like, he's shorter, obviously, than pretty much everybody. Maybe it was because he was playing against Johnny Gaudreau that he didn't seem so small. I don't know, but I expected him to look at, maybe it's just all the talk about how tiny he is. I expected him to be an actual child out there. He's not a lot bigger than a child, but, you know, he's not an actual child. Well, age-wise, he is, but and size-wise, he's not much bigger. But he's a little bigger, is my point. Merrill v. Gustafson, what do we think of the new guys? Well, I kind of talked about that already. Merrill, I've liked the things I've seen about John Merrill's game. I don't mind him. Gustafson hasn't really done anything to impress as of yet. All right. I don't know. I'm struggling with to do anything beyond really recount what happened in these games, because I have never understood a Habs team less in my life. I just don't know what to make of them at any point. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're off to a good start, sometimes the second period is just trash. They can play well against certain teams. You know, I think they're going to, if in that first round against the Leafs, it wouldn't shock me if they give them a really good fight. That wouldn't shock me at all. But they play against Calgary and Ottawa, and they look terrible. It's, night to night, you don't know what to expect. Period to period, you don't know what to expect. And opponent to opponent, it's impossible to say what this team's going to do. I don't know how you're supposed to analyze them. Almost nothing about the team makes sense. So, that's my analysis. Here's some completely unrelated analysis. But this commercial has been bugging me, and I got a podcast, so I might as well bring it up. Canadian Tire's got this commercial. If you're watching in the U.S., I assume you don't see it. But for my Canadian listeners, they go, picture a world without sports. Impossible, isn't it? I just want to say, as I'm sitting watching all these games by myself here, no, it is not impossible to picture a world without sports. It's very easy. It's I don't like it as well. It's missing sports, one of my favorite things in the world. But it's not impossible to picture a world without sports. Especially a commercial that you air in a pandemic when for several months there were no sports. Commercial drives me nuts. So that's my finishing thought on this one. I just needed to get that off my chest. I appreciate that. All right, Habs with the W, a huge one. Maybe the most important win of the season and also one of the least satisfying. Isn't that lovely? This is what the Canadians give you this season. Ça sent le Patrick Roy. God, I hope not. I think this was the season to hire Patrick Roy, if you're going to do it. Instead of Ducharme, they should have brought in St. Patrick as the head coach. Just because it's a bomb. This is a weird season. The Canadians have approached this season in a different way because they knew it was weird, because they knew this opportunity was presenting itself. They went a little bit all in. I don't think Patrick Roy would have been a good long-term coach for the Habs, or any NHL team, to be totally honest with you. But in a short 56-game season, which they'd already played, what, like 20 games at least by the time Claude Julien got fired? This would have been the season to bring in Patrick Roy, and either you go on a crazy run with him, or you just, you know, you say, we tried him, it didn't work, and we never have to revisit that again. I think this was the season to bring old 33 back. But hey, what do I know? I know that picturing a world without sports is not impossible. All right, till next, take care.